listening to the Legends Universe podcast. This podcast is for creative listeners and readers who love being immersed in new worlds filled with heroes worth cheering for. I'm your host, author Joe Field, and before we continue with the slug, let's listen in on what's happened so far. At the end of the match, take the fall and let him demask you. Will I be able to live with myself after this? Let's hear it for Mexico's newest villain, La Babosa! The boos started to intensify. He scanned the front row and saw Onyx. He was standing right between the leaders of the two groups La Babosa was indebted to. The leaders had their henchmen all around them. El Lobo leaned down and spoke directly in his ear. This is where the career of La Babosa comes to a crashing end. Before El Lobo realized what was happening, La Babosa spun and delivered a flying elbow drop right on El Lobo's throat with the scream of, Nacho Mama! Some of the henchmen were coming over the railing with their handguns out. The sound of a gunshot broke the silence and made everyone scream, turning the crowd into a frenzy. He slammed both forearms into the exit door bar and sprinted out into the hustle and bustle of the Mexico City night. He knew right then and there it would be the last time he would ever see the Cathedral of Lucha Libre. All right, folks, get ready. Episode 2 is about to begin right now. Quadrant 3 in Finska. A makeshift platform was assembled and placed in front of the broken water fountain at the center of the public square. The platform was elevated with a podium in the middle and chairs stretched out to the sides. Large speakers were propped up on the front corners of the platform. All able-bodied men and women of Finska's Quadrant 3 between the age of 18 and 36 were lined up in perfect rows that extended straight out from the platform. Pedro was standing in the middle of one of the back rows. He had a hard time seeing over the giants in front of him. Pedro. He shook his head as he pulled his baseball cap down lower on his forehead. That's what his construction manager called him on his first day in the job, so he went with it. If he was asked who he was by someone in Finska, he would say he was Pedro, a construction worker from Panama City. They hardly ever ask, though. It's like I'm invisible here, like one of the broken flower pots. He looked around the square and noticed trees of different heights and varieties, many of them cracked in half or missing branches. Ducks splashed in ponds that had formed in the middle of adjacent fields. An empty flagpole was bent and barely upright at the edge of the square. He heard kids laughing and yelling in the distance on a decrepit playground structure that looked worse than some of the ones he had played on growing up. There were people scattered around the square, fanning out in all directions from the fountain. People were gazing toward the platform, waiting in anticipation. The sky was overcast and the air felt humid. He wore dark, oversized sunglasses under his cap, and the limited outdoor light made it difficult to see. There were a few older gentlemen sitting on chairs on the side of the platform, but Pedro had no clue who they were. He noticed one person on the stage, a man named Ruxton, who was Quadrant 3's acting mayor. He was tall like everyone else, but was built like a tank. Young and good-looking, he had a commanding presence. Pedro remembered him from a visit he paid to the construction site Pedro was working at in Lower Quadrant 3 when he first arrived in country. Ruxton swung by, gave a quick speech, took some pictures, and was gone. The crowd suddenly cheered for someone who made their way up the platform steps. Pedro got up on his tiptoes to try to see over the shoulder of the person in front of him. All he could make out was the person on the platform had shaggy blonde hair and looked like a rock star, or at least received a rock star welcome. The rock star was carrying something that looked like a large golden belt. Newly arrived security guards shuffled out in front of the platform. When the crowd finally settled down, the man spoke into the microphone on the podium. Hello, men and women of Quadrant 3. Thank you for that great welcome. For those of you who might not know me, my name is Max Sawyer, and I'm the Loot of Arrowhead Nation. The Loot? Pedro ran his fingers through the mustache he had grown when he arrived in Finska 9 months earlier. He was still getting used to it. And you may also know me as the captain of our National Scooterball League championship team, the Hawks. Matt pumped his fist in the air and the crowd let out a huge cheer. Pedro knew what scooterball was, but had never watched a game. He knew it was a big deal in this part of the world, though, as people around the construction site would talk about it frequently. He was still getting used to living on the small, isolated city-state nation known as Finska. About the same size as Singapore, Pedro learned that Finska accounted for one of only 3 islands in the remote Hackensack Sea. Finska was split up into 4 roughly equal quadrants that surrounded city center, where the central government resided and ruled. Max Arrowhead Nation was was the much larger and more established island nation to the west of Finska. Thank you, you're too kind. Mac put his hands up to quiet down the crowd. Now, I know our two countries have had some differences in the past, like the war Shakan started last year. But I'm here on behalf of Gabby Oaks, the 21st Supreme Leader of Arrowhead, to tell you that is all behind us now. Our capital, Xena City, was hit hard by the earthquake and tsunami, and we've spent the last year rebuilding it. I'm happy to report it's better than ever. Now, I know you were hit even harder by those natural disasters, and it pains me to see what has happened to your country. Pedro looked out and saw many of the buildings surrounding the square were still in shambles, abandoned and taken over by squatters who had used them as their personal canvases to cover with graffiti. For those of you who don't know, I used to live right here in Quadrant 3, Matt continued. I was here for an exchange program back in high school. I used to walk through this very square on the way to school. I know the square used to be the pride of your community, a cherished public space to relax with loved ones and friends after a long day. I want to help you restore this whole quadrant and the nation of Finska to its former glory. Not like the military-focused buildup of Finska fighters under Shikan's reign, but the one I experienced as a young adult.
Sounds pretty weak, Mac Attack.
Someone called out from the audience. Mac raised his arms in mock defense. I'm not telling you to lose your identity as a nation of fighters, but I want to help you channel that energy for good, not how Shakan envisioned using you for his own personal gains. People didn't really talk to Pedro around the construction site. They assumed he only spoke basic English, even though he was nearly fluent. He let them think that in order to stay in the background and to listen in on their conversations. He overheard some of them talking about Shakan and the battle with Arrowhead. Shakan sounded like a dictator who ruled Finska with an iron fist. He was defeated in battle and lost all of his fighters down some huge pit in Arrowhead. It left a leadership gap in Finska that hasn't been filled, even 1 year later. The battle came right on the heels of the natural disasters Mac mentioned. Those two events left Finska in a state of ruins. There was a notice sent out worldwide for anyone with carpentry and construction skills to come help repair Finska. Workers were promised a small dorm and steady work for as long as they would stay. Pedro jumped at the chance. I know you've all experienced a lot of pain this last year. Mac lowered his voice. Loss of loved ones, decimated homes, a nation in shambles, constant fights with neighboring quadrants, a continual stress, worrying about what will happen next. I'm here to hopefully share some good news with you, for I recently met with the acting mayors of all four quadrants in Center City, including your very own Ruxton. Pedro checked his watch while the crowd cheered for Ruxton. How much longer will this go on? I'm losing valuable work time here. All four acting mayors have agreed to stop the violence and fighting between the quadrants and proclaim a new governor as only Finska knows how. Mac held up the belt over his head. Pedro's eyes grew wide. The belt was made of gold and had bright sequins on it. It looked just like a championship wrestling belt. There will be a tournament held in Center City starting in just 2 days. It will be a 3-day-long tournament featuring two fighters from each of the four quadrants. Mac continued to swing the belt around so everyone in the square could see it. The 8 total fighters will be placed in a single elimination round robin. I propose the matches resemble the brawler platform fights of Arrowhead, but the mayors have agreed on the classic Finska fight rules instead. The winner of the tournament will serve as the governor of Finska Nation, and his or her quadrant will be in charge of running Finska's central government from Center City for the next year. Finska fight rules to become the next governor? Pedro chuckled to himself. This is suddenly becoming a little more interesting after all. Are you serious? Someone from the crowd yelled out. Absolutely. And so far, Ruxton has volunteered as one of your fighters. Mac turned and gave Ruxton a salute on the stage. Ruxton waved to the crowd. Turning back to the microphone, Mac continued, No, it won't be easy. Sledge from Quadrant 1 will be one of the fighters. As the current self-proclaimed governor and acting mayor of Quadrant 1, Sledge has assured me he will honor the rules of the tournament and the ultimate winner. Someone made a huffing sound behind Pedro. He looked over his shoulder and saw someone roll their eyes and whisper to the person standing next to them. Yeah, right. Screw this. Sledge is going to destroy everyone, including Ruxton. The person behind Pedro whispered in response. Ruxton is so blinded by his ambition, he doesn't care if anyone gets their heads ripped off in the process. Whoever wins the tournament gets the official belt of Finska Nation. Mac draped the belt over his shoulder. Think of it as the country's championship belt. Everyone will know that whoever wears this belt is Finska's new governor, and they will have the full political and military backing of the nation of Arrowhead. They will be in charge of keeping the peace with the other quadrants and overseeing an accelerated effort to restore Finska's infrastructure and communities. We need one more volunteer from your quadrant to join Ruxton. There's a list of participants up on the board at the Finska Arena gates in Center City, and we need one of you to sign your name below Ruxton for Quadrant 3. We don't have much time to decide either. Who's it gonna be? Pedro watched Mac leap off the platform and land right in front of the first assembled row. He noticed everyone around him straighten their backs and look dead ahead, like it was a military inspection and Mac was a general. This may be a fighting nation, but it seems like no one wants to fight against a sledge guy. Pedro noticed the surrounding crowd had fallen silent. Birds chirped as they flew overhead toward the water fountain. He looked up at the darkening clouds and felt the first droplets of rain kiss his cheeks. Up in front of him, he heard Mac talking to prospective fighters as he walked up and down the assembled rows. Mac's voice grew louder and he could see him walking down the row in front of him. He stopped at the person in front of Pedro and patted him on his wide shoulders. "You're built like an ox," Mac said. "What's your name?"
"Big D,"
the man replied in a deep voice. "Big D, a fitting name. Will you be the second volunteer?"
Maybe.
Mac shook his head and continued. He started walking past Big D and stopped suddenly. He cocked his head so he was looking directly at Pedro. He cut through the row and moved right in front of him. Mac was peering at him as though he recognized him from somewhere. He was so close, Pedro could smell his cologne. Mac had an athletic build and was taller than him, although not nearly as tall as the citizens of Finska. "What's your name?" Mac leaned in closer. Pedro cleared his throat.
Pedro, sir.
"Pedro from where? What are you doing in Finska?" Pedro took a slight step back and realized Mac was trying to listen to his voice. He distorted his voice by making it sound deeper before replying.
"Oh yeah, I'm a construction worker from Panama City."
"Take off those glasses so I can get a good look at you." Pedro held up a hand.
I can't, sir," reverting back to his normal voice. "I have an eye condition."
Mac leaned in even further so his face was right next to Pedro's ear. "Okay, Pedro from Panama," he whispered. "After this lineup is over, I want you to meet me at the far side of the square behind the playground. There's a rundown dog park there. Do you know it?"
"What the heck?"
Pedro's heart started to race. "Yes, but why?"
"Hablé pronto,"
Mac whispered and then stood up and continued down the line. "Talk soon?" Pedro eyed Mac as he walked away. "Does he think he knows who I am?" "There's no way. Should I head right out to my construction site afterward?" The rain was starting to intensify and he realized any hope of work was doomed for the day. "I bet I could still sneak out with the crowd." Mac finished walking down the last line and let out a loud whistle, using his fingers as an amplifier in his mouth. "All right, everyone, that's it. Get home before you get soaked and make sure we have a second name on the board before the start of the tournament." The crowd dispersed quickly as the rain continued. Pedro started to move out with the crowd but suddenly stopped. He saw Mac talk to one of his security guards. Mac pointed over his shoulder at Pedro. The guard touched his ear and said something into a radio. Pedro locked eyes with Mac as he started to head toward the direction of the playground. Mac gave him an ever so subtle head nod. Pedro didn't know what to do other than to nod his head back. The security guards spread out so they formed a bubble around Pedro. Not close, but close enough for their presence to be felt. "I guess there's no chance of sneaking away now." Pedro used his shirt collar to wipe away the condensation forming on his glasses. He found the direction of the playground and put his head down as he marched over. This can't be good. The rain had now increased to a steady flow. Not quite a downpour, but enough to feel like there was a showerhead streaming directly over his head. Pedro's clothes were soaked through and they felt like wet blankets. His glasses continued to fog up, but he knew he couldn't take them off. Not now, not ever. Mac was standing 10 feet in front of him in the middle of the dog park. Large puddles of water were forming around them. Pedro looked down under his glasses and saw the remnants of a chewed up tennis ball. Mac unzipped the leather jacket he was wearing. "So what part of Panama City are you from then?" "Oh great, the interrogation has begun. Are you very familiar with the area?" Pedro finally asked. "Yes, I've traveled there before." Mac threw the jacket to the side and it landed on a broken bench. Pedro cleared his throat, trying to think of an area. "I'm from Old Town, right next to the water. Say, do you want to take this conversation indoors so we don't get completely soaked through to our boxers?" He looked around the dog park and saw Mac's security guards were still around the perimeter. "I'm sure your men would like to get out of the rain, too." Mac eyed his men and made a swirling motion with an extended index finger high above his head. His men started to disperse. Pedro began to turn and walk away. "No, not you. We can stay and talk. My grandpa Joe used to always tell me I was a sweet kid, but not so sweet a fit of rain could melt me away. And he owned a candy store, so that's saying something. You could take off those glasses of yours if that's more comfortable for you." "I'm not really sure why you want to talk to me." Pedro tried to wipe his glasses clean, but fog started to come back as soon as it was clear. "I asked you to stay behind because I want to tell you a story." Max started rolling up a sleeve on the long sleeve shirt he was wearing. "I have a knockout phrase I use when playing scooterball and..." Mac paused. "For other things. Do you know what it is?" Pedro shook his head. "No clue. I don't really follow scooterball." "It's Lucha Slam." Mac shot his eyes up at Pedro's face. "As in, my love for Lucha Libre wrestling down in Mexico." "Oh, no. You want to know who my favorite wrestler of all time is?"
Pedro shrugged his shoulders. Sure, I mean, I guess I don't really follow that sport. La Babosa. Mac let the name hang in the air. Pedro's heart started to beat faster when he heard the name. Never heard of him. Mac started to grin. Oh, you haven't heard of La Babosa, the slug. That's strange. I thought he was popular down in Latin America as well. You know, La Babosa hasn't been seen in over 9 months. He was about to get demasked at Arena Mexico by a wrestler called El Lobo, but right before his mask could get pulled, he beat everyone up and hightailed it out of there. Then he vanished, out of Mexico and out of sight. Mac finished rolling up his other sleeve and started to crack his knuckles. Bad luck for him, but hopefully he's in a better place now. Pedro started to inch backward and stop when he stepped in a large puddle, engulfing his entire shoe in the process. I don't think he is. Mac sprinted right at Pedro and launched his body through the air. Mac led with his shoulder and was about to spear Pedro in his chest. Without thinking, Pedro ducked at the last possible moment and hooked his arm behind Mac and drove him into the puddle. What are you doing? Mac was back on his feet in a flash. He went low this time and scooped the back of Pedro's ankle. Mac swung Pedro's ankle up and it caused him to smash his back into the ground. Mac jumped on top of him and wrapped an arm tightly around Pedro's leg, pinning him to the ground. Uno, dos, tres. Before Mac could finish counting, Pedro whipped his body out to the side, escaping the pin. Pedro launched forward and met Mac in a crouched position. They locked hands around each other's heads. I knew it! Mac had a huge smile on his face as he let go of him. Pedro realized what was happening and finally let go and stepped backward as well. You're La Babosa! This is where you've been hiding! Mac smacked his forehead with his hand. I should have known! I'm like your biggest fan! I think I've read everything about you. I remember reading that story about your volunteer work building homes in the slums of Mexico City. So obviously you came here to hide out and help rebuild Finska in the process. Hey, smart play. He couldn't respond right away. He just kept shaking his head. How could he find this out? Where will I run to next? He finally looked up and saw the joy spread across Mac's face. Rain and all, he could tell Mac was excited to see him. It reminded him of how he used to feel when he met rabid fans before a match back in Mexico. He finally stretched out his hand. You're right. I'm La Babosa. And it's a pleasure to meet you, Mac Sawyer. How did you know it was me? Mac shook his hand hard. I recognize your voice. I've listened to all your interviews and watched all your matches, even the ones before you made it to AAA. I knew you were trying to fake your voice, and when your real voice came out, it was a dead giveaway. That, plus the hat, glasses, the mustache to hide your appearance. You know, I've sort of thought about creating a team of investigators to go out in the world to search and find you. Well, no need for that now. I can't believe you were right in our own backyard this whole time. Wow, I don't know what to say. La Babosa's mind started to race. Where can I go to next? I could try to hide out in the wild west city of Chokecherry, North Dakota, back in the States. Or maybe head down to some remote part of South America, but where does it end? He looked back at Mac. You're really that big of a fan? Yes, of course. And this tournament could give you a chance to fight again. La Babosa held his hands up. My fighting days are over. What? Mac exclaimed. Clearly something happened down in Mexico at that match, but you can't be serious. You're gonna give up fighting? Are you just gonna hide in the shadows the rest of your life, float into obscurity? La Babosa sighed and reached down in front of his shirt and grabbed the golden cross around his neck. What should I do, my dear abuela? Can you ask Jesus up there, beyond the clouds, what he thinks I should do? He finally looked back at Mac. It's just too dangerous. There are men back in Mexico that want me dead. It's safer if I keep my head down and continue working on construction projects here. Nonsense. Mac moved forward and placed a hand on his shoulder. You're La Babosa, one of the greatest luchadors of all time. You need to continue to fight, and I need your help here in Finska. That sledge guy in Quadrant 1 is bad news. I don't know if you know anything about Shikan, but Sledge could essentially become the next Shikan if left unchecked. He would turn Finska into a wasteland of tyranny and war. I've heard about Shikan a bit around the construction site, but I just don't know. I think it's going to be too dangerous, both to fight this Sledge guy and for those groups back in Mexico to discover where I am. What are we talking? The cartel? The government? What? Max crossed his arms. La Babosa noticed the rain started to subside and he could see a rainbow forming off in the distance. Let's just say if certain people found out my location, they would send killers after me. I can never go back to Mexico because of it. So fight under a different name and outfit. Max stopped himself and shook his head. I shouldn't have said that. You're right, I can't. Given you know a little bit about Lucha Libre, you know if I ever fight again, it'll only be as La Babosa. That's my identity, even this far from home. I understand. Mac rubbed his chin and started to pace around. I can promise you protection, as good as I receive. And in addition to my security guards, we have some tough guys back in Arrowhead that could protect you. But the chances of someone in Mexico finding out about you during a three-day tournament this weekend are slim to none. Mac paused and then slapped his hands together. I have an idea. Just use the English version of your name. La Babosa raised an eyebrow. You mean like the slug? Exactly. None of the fights will be televised, and the chances of the slug being discovered outside of Finska is very unlikely. Mac tried to hide a grin. I can't believe I'm talking to you right now. It's been a dream of mine to meet you. Will you lace up your boots again and help us restore Finska? It felt good to hear from a fan, especially someone in an important political position like Mac. It made La Babosa think of his time in the ring and all the fans that support him during his run as a technique. A hero. Do I really want to work in construction for the rest of my days? I have limited money, and I can't go back to Mexico, and wrestling is the only other skill I have. He looked back at Mac, who was awaiting his response. Is the risk worth the reward? Could he really keep me safe? Give me a day to think about it. Deal. Just write your name down on the list in Center City if you're up for it. I did have a question, though. You mentioned Finska fight rules. What does that mean? Mac nodded his head. That's right. So it's a standard wrestling ring with ropes and everything you're used to with Lucha Libre. You can win by knockout, pin, or surrender. The kicker is there are no rounds. Once the match starts, it just keeps going until it's finished. The other big element you should know, fighters are allowed to keep one blunt instrument weapon in a bin in their corner of the ring. Wait, what do you mean, blunt instrument? You know, like anything that doesn't shoot projectiles or sharp edges. So no guns or knives. Think weapons like baseball bats, clubs, and wait a minute. Mac's eyes lit up. I'm going to bring you something to use. I haven't agreed to fight yet, La Babosa protested. Whether you do or not, I'll still bring it for you, Mac winked at him. Anyway, there's this buzzer that sounds at some point during the match. It could be 5 seconds or 5 minutes. It's all random. Once that buzzer sounds, fighters are allowed to use their weapons against each other. La Babosa rubbed his hands together. I've never heard of such rules, but it's an intriguing element. Like I said, give me a day to think about it. Of course, but just remember, the tournament starts in only 2 days' time. If you're in, sign up and I will ensure your safety throughout the tournament. He looked over and saw security guards returning. I better run, but it was a pleasure to meet you, La Babosa. You mean the slug. He permitted himself a smile and realized it was the first time he had smiled in months. Yes, the slug. Mac flashed him the Shaka sign, his thumb and little finger extended with his middle fingers down. He wiggled his hand back and forth. Hasta luego. He grabbed his jacket from the bench and headed out. Hasta luego. He watched Mac walk away and looked up at the dazzling array of colors in the sky. The storm clouds had completely passed and a rainbow was now stretched over the entire horizon. He grabbed his cross again. Abuela, is that supposed to be your way of telling me to bring the slug back? Thank you for listening to the Legends Universe podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode to find out if the slug takes Mac up on his request to fight in the tournament. Also, make sure to claim your free copy of the entire written version of the slug and discover all our universe has to offer at legendsuniverse.net. Until next time, this is author Joe Field. Chop suey!